on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter, and today we have a special guest with us. Today we have with us offensive coordinator, Taylor Mauser. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So we're gonna start it off. So this is the first question I have. So I'll say last year you guys made it to the Big 12 championship game, win the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So for me, the first question that I have is, with this roster, how do you prevent complacency from setting in and then also letting last year be taken for granted?
Yeah, I think for us, it's about having, you're going to fall to the level of your preparation and your standards. And I think, you know, with Coach Campbell going into year 10, most of our guys know what the standard is now. And you have to prepare, and the mission has to reflect the habits, and you have to have championship habits. And if you don't, then you're not going to be a championship contender. So for us, if we want to be, you know, at the end of the season on top of the stage, which we haven't been in the Coach Campbell era yet, we're going to have championship habits. We're going to have to do things better than they've ever been done before. And at least at Iowa State, our guys know it's never been done. There's never been a Big 12 conference champion. So it's hard to be complacent. It's not like our guys have ever seen it done. Like, there's
right.
34 wants to be the team that gets it done. And if you're not the hungriest team in Iowa State history, then it's not going to get done. And when you have guys like Jalen Knoll that have set the foundation for greatness, the standard is greatness, and you have to live up to it.
No, I completely agree with that. I'm definitely really, really excited for his season. So here's the next question I have. We're going to go back to your first year as offensive coordinator in 2023. So Nathan Shieldhouse leaves for the Rams, and then you ended up getting the job. Maybe tell me like the surprises and maybe what you learned as a first year offensive coordinator in 2023.
Yeah, I think I learned, just from a play calling standpoint, how much faster the clock moves and the game goes in the game when you're calling plays. It just, you're always under the gun a little bit. So that was a new wrinkle for me. And I had a lot of help from Manning and Shieldhouse and the guys that had done it before, with just preparation and guidelines and tips for when it goes well, when it doesn't go well. Jim Hoffer, who's an assistant at Iowa State, has been a great mentor to me and has helped me out a lot. I think the biggest thing I probably learned was, you know, kind of back to your first question, is lay down clear expectations and habits for your guys to follow. And I want them, you know, to be a reflection of the offensive coaches and the staff and Coach Campbell. So what does that look like every single day with everything that we do? And, you know, laying down the groundwork of what my expectations and our expectations as offensive coaching staff were, and surround yourself with people that you could trust, because there's so much that goes into the game planning process. And with it being my first year, I certainly don't have all the answers to anything in general, let alone playing, you know, play calling. And Noah Pauley was a guy that's called plays before and has won national championships. Tyler Roll has been offensive coordinator for national championship teams. Coach Campbell was an offensive coordinator. Ryan Plant was an offensive coordinator. So I had all these guys that had coordinator experience besides myself, and they don't have egos, and they were so helpful to me. And they did such a good job of helping me with ideas, you know, in game, things to get to. And it was very much a group effort the whole way throughout it. And being able to trust those guys was huge for me. And I can't say enough just about how awesome the staff in general at Iowa State is, but that offensive staff was really special last year and is really special now.
Because anytime you have like a team and everybody is working towards the same goal, it's definitely a lot easier to achieve that goal when everybody is like not like selfish, more selfless than selfish.
Absolutely.
All right. So question. So for this, obviously, as an OC, you call plays, So do you have like a certain philosophy in play calling? So like, do you do base it off of each drive, or do you base it off of the more of the personnel that you have?
So for us, it's all personnel based. At Iowa State, really even back to Toledo when I was with Coach Campbell, our foundation as an offense has always been players, formations, plays. Who are your players? Who are your guys? What formations can you get into to get those guys the ball? And then within those formations, what are the best plays to get those guys the ball? So year in, year out, I mean, you've been a fan for a long time. There's been years where the tight ends have been the strength. There's been mm-hmm. years where the running back has been the best player. The quarterback, the wide receivers were our best players last year. So it fluctuates year to year based on who our best players are and how we can get those guys the ball. It's certainly not my system at its heart of hearts. It's what Coach Campbell did as the offensive coordinator at Mount Union and then brought mm-hmm. it to lead. All our verbiage is still pretty much the same from back then. We've switched what we call certain plays and our operation and things like that. But for us, it's how can we get our guys the ball? And Coach Campbell's a big guy on controlling the clock. We want to eat up time of possession. We want to be up at the top in the Big 12 and controlling the clock. And it's hard to do that when your focal point, the best players on our offense were Jalen and Jaden last year. How can we still be able to control the clock? So for us, it was being able to run the ball effectively, an efficient pass game where we could get those guys the ball quick and be able to get those guys the ball in space. And obviously, you know, I felt like we wanted to be aggressive, you know, on P&10 early in drives where we could push the ball down the field and, you know, situationally on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, be able to take shots there also. Being smart within the wrinkles of how we want to be aggressive and push the ball down the field, but at the same time, how can we control the clock, run the football, take care of the defense, play good football, and, you know, take care of the football more than anything is obviously the biggest, most important part of offensive football is taking care of the football.
Having continuity on the side of the ball is key. And like you said, being a ball control type of offense, especially it would definitely keep the defenses guessing. So, you know, I really, really like, you know, what you said there about your approach to, like, you know, 3rd-and-short and 4th-and-short. That's awesome to hear. So, like you brought up Jalen and Jaden. I'm really, just for myself, selfishly, I really hope one of them gets drafted by the Cowboys. But anyways, I wanted to take a look back at Cy-Hawk real quick. One of the things I wanted to know was, like, on that play to get back into the game, that 75-yard touchdown to Jalen, what were you seeing in the defense?
Yeah, so they played us a little bit different on first down than what we expected and what we had seen in previous years. That play wasn't on the call sheet going into the game. It's a play that we had done versus our defense in fall camp and that we had done, they studied in the offseason that we really liked. And honestly, that was something that Coach Pauly and Coach Waters, watching the iPad, thought would be a good play for us. And we had seen a different defense than what we were expecting on first down and felt like it would be a good time to start the drive with what we had been seeing from the defense. So credit to Coach Waters, credit to Coach Pauly, credit to Jalen and Rocco for being able, and the rest of the offense for being able to go in there and execute a play that we hadn't practiced all week. So just being able to have those adjustments, the iPad in use this last year really helped us being able to stay in front of a couple different wrinkles and curves. And our guys do such a good job of just, you know, Steeples, who helps us, Coach Steeples, Jackson Scott Brown, like all those guys do a good job of being up in that box and charting the defense and seeing what the difference is than what we game plan for.
This was like that was you know, it was like a beautifully called play. I'm like, man, right back in this thing, because I mean,
yeah,
I remember,
big play.
Yeah, I was remember. Sooner. Yes, no. You got it to him when you needed to, and it ended up paying off. Because I remember in that certain situation, I was just watching with my friends, and they're like, oh yeah,
that's right. You got to leave.
Like, I wanted to look at, and then another play I wanted to look at was, I believe, the last play when you guys were driving down before King Ryder kicked the game winner.
Yep.
Was that play a play similar to last year that you guys threw to Norton, which ended up being on the same guy, Sebastian Castro?
The pick six?
Yeah.
So it was a little bit different of a play. For us, the first play to start the drive was a concept that we really like in two-minute situations versus man coverage, where we have two different man beaters that we feel like on the front side can go be good versus man and zone. We do it versus our defense all the time. We have like a two-minute menu of things that we really use. Felt like that would be a good drive starter. And then the next play was really a double move off of the speed out that we ran on the first play that we have used in two-minute situations. It was actually a play that Coach Manning ran with the Colts and Andrew Luck back in 2000. And hadn't really used it in a game. He used it. Charlie Kolar actually caught it against Louisiana Monroe 19. And feel like it's a good man beater, cover three beater, and two cover two beater into the boundary. So it was a great route. It's another play that wasn't on the call sheet, but our guys kind of have it ingrained as a two-minute play for us. And we really like it. And they executed it. And the ball that Rocco threw was incredible. I mean, it was truly an unbelievable throw and catch. And the players executed it so well. I can't say just enough about how good the protection was with James Neal and Tyler Moore and Tyler Miller at tackle. And then, you know, the timing of the throw and catch was really special.
Yeah, definitely. Insane. I was like, man, what ball placement on that by Rocco? I was like, are you kidding me? It was absolutely insane. All right. So, you know, with us talking about QB1, Rocco, like, with your relationship with him, how is that changed and grown from the first year of you calling plays? And with calling plays, like, how has that trust developed between you and him, between play caller and player?
Yeah, I think for us, I've always really respected Rocco's just competitive excellence that he has in everything he does. He wants to win in everything that he does, and I feel like I can kind of relate to that as somebody that loves to compete. It doesn't matter if it's checkers or darts or spike ball or football, like he wants to rip your face off, and I feel like I'm kind of the same way no matter what it is. I like to go to battle with him, and obviously, you know, anything besides football, golf. So I've always really liked him as a competitor, like him as a kid, the spirit he has, the way that he comes to the facility every day and prepares and fights to perfect his craft and trains. And then, you know, being the offensive coordinator and him being the quarterback, you have to have a relationship and be on the same page. And I don't ever want him to feel like he's out there by himself or has to carry the whole offense. I mean, we're all out there with the same goal. And him and I meet every Thursday and kind of rank all the plays that he really likes. He ranks them because it's really not about what I like. It's about what he likes and our guys can execute. He ranks all the plays on the call sheet from a pass standpoint. And it injects a lot of confidence into me and what to call. Like I said, it doesn't matter what my favorite plays are. I want to know what his favorite plays are. That way, in the most critical moment of the situation, we can call something he's really confident in. And he knows that I have his back, good and bad. I like how bold that guy is. Like, we had a play the other day at practice where it was 4th and 1, and we threw a shot play and we threw it, and it wasn't a catch. It was a great ball, and we just weren't able to make a catch. And he could have ran for the first down, and it's frustrating to not be able to move the chains, but I like how aggressive he is. And I'm not going to be happy when it works and not when it doesn't. It's going to happen sometimes. And I want him to know that we're both competing to try to win every single day. And we go against a great defense with Coach Haycock and our guys. So it's fun. And it's such an emotional game. And there's so much at stake every single week. I know how much being the quarterback at Iowa State and wanting to be the team that wins the Big 12 that's never been done. I know how much it means to him, and it kills him when we don't win. It kills me when we don't win. So I think we're very much both on the same page and have a lot of trust in each other just to go out there and do the best we can to win football games for Iowa State.
Where, like, it just came down to, like, the last drive of the game.
Yeah. But,
like, I just had this, like, you know, when you have that, like, confidence, like, just as a fan and, like, somebody who was really a big observer of Iowa State football, like, knowing that you, like, you have that confidence, like, okay, you know what, he's gonna get down there, get the job done, and win this game. And just like what you said, being you guys being in lockstep together, and then being on the same journey together is just an absolute good thing.
It's a lot of fun.
Here is my other one. Like you said a few questions ago, when I asked you, like, How did you like develop like a knack for attempting aggressive play calls? Is this like something that like you have always like your this is like part of your philosophy in play calling, that something that you've always wanted to do, or like just like when these opportunities present itself, like take it?
Yeah, I didn't get into this to like grow through the coaching ladder. Like I never thought in a million years I would be where I'm at. And every day that I was at Iowa State, like I wasn't like some of the guys you hear where I was preparing to be the coordinator every day. Mm-hmm. I was just so happy to be the tight ends coach at Iowa State and have my shot to do that, and wanted to do it the best that I could. And I love being around the guys. Like if there's one thing I don't like about being an offensive coordinator is I don't like being up in the box. I don't like being away from the players.
Yeah.
I like sharing the emotion of the game with them. I like the coaching on the field with them. I like the good and the bad with them. Like, they're my why in football, like the players. Mm-hmm. And when you don't get to be around them for the whole game, it's certainly not as fun as you wish it would. And my favorite thing about football is it home plays is a long way down the list. But when you're at least around it for – I've been with Coach Campbell for 12 years, and I've worked at Iowa State going into my 10th year, and I've worked with some incredible offensive coaches. And you always wonder, you know, what if, or if you were doing it, like what you'd do different. And it's easy. I mean, football is the most hindsight 2020 sport in football. I mean, in sports, everybody is happy when it works and doesn't, you know, mad when it doesn't and what they would do different. So that's not what I'm saying from previous coaches, but you know, you just have in mind like how you would want to do things if you had the shot. And when Nate left to the Rams, Coach Campbell asked me what I would do different than Shieldhouse and Manning and how things were done. And I told him just a couple things of ways I'd like to go about it, good or bad. And I think obviously, you know, he liked it, and trust me, and just know that, or knew that I'd die for Iowa State to help us win football games. And my preparation every single day to whatever job he's given me has, I think, exceeded or lived up to his expectations. And like I said before, I really trusted the offensive coaches that we had here right now to help it all be successful, and knew that it had to be a collaborative effort to do it. But it just kind of all goes back to Coach Campbell was the only coach that gave me a chance to be a graduate assistant or a volunteer, and then be a recruiting assistant and a quality control guy. I'm really, really scared to let him and the players down. Everything from an aggressive standpoint was just like I told those guys in the first meeting I wanted to take a shot the first play of the season, and I knew it would get those guys excited. And there was a couple other times to start games where I felt like it made sense, and I knew those guys would be excited about it. And sometimes it's about asking them, like, how do you guys want to start at Rocco? Like, what do you think? You want to run the ball and slow things down a little bit, see what we get? Or you want to throw one up, see what happens? And it just kind of, you know, I think gives those guys a little bit of equity and skin, which they already have, and allows those guys to play free a little bit. And it allows me to think a little bit clearer also, when you can just kind of be bold. And Coach Campbell always says, be bold. So I take that as, all right, well, screw it, let's cut it loose, see what happens. And it's easier for me when I think that way than to, you know, just think that we're going to dink and dunk and manage the game 4 yards at a time. I'm not smart enough to be able to go on 16 play drives and methodically just march the ball down the field. I can't do it.
Itself is really just hard. It's just hard to do. Like, and having those long, sustained drives, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And like you said, with you know, letting the players decide of what you want to do, the you know, the first play call, third. I'm not gonna lie to you, Coach. I was so surprised the first play of the game I was watching. I'm like, oh my goodness! Yeah. And then I was like, oh my goodness!
So we said that we were gonna call that play, and I had Jalen, Jaden, and Rocco in, and I gave them like, we talked about three different shot plays, and they all agreed on that one. And then it was funny, like, over the next 48 hours, there were people on Twitter that were saying, like, can't wait to watch Iowa State run inside zone on the first play of the season. And Rocco or some of our players were, like, sending it to me on Twitter, or Skip, the DFO, or Hoosh, because they knew we were going to take a shot. And I couldn't believe how many people thought we were going to just run inside zone to start the game or start the season. So I was happy to kind of change the narrative there.
I appreciate it, because I'm not going to lie. I'm guilty. I was one of those. So
yeah, you might have been you.
Yeah, it probably was. Nah. Yeah, and then just one other play before we close out. Like, just I wanna talk about that Utah game halfback pass that Carson Hansen threw.
Yeah,
man, that was I'll say that was ballsy, man. That was crazy. I was like, man, we really needed that. I'm like, but wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite plays of the season. We kind of went around the staff room after the season, or maybe it was the night of the game, and asked what everybody's favorite play, what favorite game and favorite play. That and the Iowa, the double move, were probably my two favorite plays of the season for sure. Just it was a fun one to watch, nerve wracking one. Tyler Roll, if you watch it on the film, he doesn't watch it, and he, you know, turns and walks the other way. We didn't complete it throughout the week in practice at all. It just felt like it was the right time, and the boys did a great job.
Definitely, and you felt it, because it was like a certain time in the game where, like, we really needed to play it done, and like we ended up, you know, it ended up being a huge play in that game.
Yeah, and Coach Campbell was awesome this last year, letting us go for it on fourth down. I think we were first or second in the country in fourth down percentage, and knew that he was going to green light us going for it on fourth down. If we didn't get it, allowed us to be a little bit more aggressive on that one. So credit to him as well for letting us be bold on fourth down this year and go for it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Coach Campbell. So we have, I just want, there's a question from the live chat I just want to ask you, and then we'll head out from YouTube. So a guy named Family, thank you, Family, for tuning in to the live stream. He asked if you see another 10-win season on the horizon.
I'm not going to make predictions from a win-loss standpoint. We're going to do the best we can to win as many games as we can. And our focus is always going to be on, you know, the development of our team and the standards of our team. And we're going to go out there. And, you know, the crazy thing about Iowa State, you know, you're a fan, and all you guys that are listening or watching know, somehow, some way, most of the games are probably going to come down to the last play or the last drive of the game, and the margins are really small. So it comes down to an inch here, an inch there. So it's going to be an awesome season. It's going to be electric. Our goal is to win as many games as we can. Our expectation is to win as many games as we can, and we're going to do everything we can to do that. And we're going to have to prepare better than we prepared last year if we want to win 10 games. You want to win 11 games and 12 games. It's only been done one time in the history of Iowa State football. So we know that our backs are always going to be against the wall here. Other teams are always going to try to buy all of our best players, and we're here for it. We love it. We're going to go out there and prove people wrong every single year the best way that we can, and we're going to win the hard way. And it's not always the fun way, but it's the Iowa State way. Yeah, no, it's awesome. I remember you being in the student section, I mean, from early on in the Matt Campbell tenure, of being a guy that supported Iowa State and gave a lot of love out for us. And I love all the fans here so much, and I know how much Iowa State means to everybody here, and I don't take it for granted, and truly want to do the best that I can to make everybody proud. So I love the grind and how much that you stick up and fight for us, and I really respect it. You and all the other great Iowa State fans. So you guys mean the world to me and to us and Coach Campbell and our football team.
So, Spot sports podcast in the state of Iowa. So thank you guys for that. Also, if you want to follow, find me on Twitter. I am at SciTieGuy. I have a ton of sports takes. I hear me whine about the White Sox and Cowboys. Talk about Iowa State football. And here's where you can find us on social media. Where? How do you spell Believe? B-L-E-A-V. Here how you can find us: Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. So with that being said, this is Tyler Carter from the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow while Cody returns as we talk about WrestleMania. So thank you guys once again, and go Cyclones.